Grace and peace be to you in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. I would share with you some thoughts this morning from the Gospel reading from John. And it's actually in two parts, but I'm going to keep them together. The first part, of course, is where John the Baptist declares Jesus to those around him, "Behold the Lamb of God, look the Lamb of God." And the second one, of course, is where Jesus turns to Andrew and to John the disciple, who was the other disciple, to come, follow me. And my theme is the church, a pot of peas. One of the disadvantages of pre-packed or frozen foods is that we no longer experience the satisfaction of growing, of harvesting, and of preparing the vegetables that we eat. As I look out here, I would imagine there was a lot of you who grew up as children with that as being the norm in your backyard. Okay. Whereas perhaps today it's not so much the norm. But keep it up if it is the norm for you. Today we tear open the packet, we snip the corner, we pour them into a saucepan of hot water, and lo and behold, within 10 minutes, we can eat them. No worries, no hanging and messing about, straight into it. As I said, perhaps many of the younger people here this morning, that's anyone under 45, might have lost the excitement of seeing peas when they first rise out of the ground. Little, helpless little shoots about this high. Then they grow into bushes and growing taller and taller, especially if you give them a bit of support to hold them up. And then they become leafy bushes, and finally little pods begin to form. And as they grow, they swell, they get bigger, and they become ready to pick. And what about the fun of taking the peas out of the pod? One of life's pleasures have been lost for so many with frozen peas. I can still remember my mum going out, coming in with a big cauldron of peas that she had picked, sitting down in the kitchen, holding the bowl in her lap and apron, and start shelling the peas. And the fascinating thing about when you start shelling your peas, you know you often get lots of helpers. Because next to picking strawberries, picking peas are probably the best thing. Picking them with an occasional one accidentally falling into your mouth. Okay, perhaps you're wondering what on earth this talking about peas has got to do with the gospel reading for today from John. Hopefully I can shed some light on that question. This morning's gospel reading is about evangelism, about calling. It's about how John the Baptist preaches the good news concerning Jesus to John's disciples, in particular Andrew and John the disciple, and how Andrew gives witness to this good news, namely to his brother Simon. With that in mind, that is why I'm going to suggest to you that the church is like a pot of peas. When I suggest this, I don't mean the church is like a pot of green peas that we have from the garden. No, rather the church is a pod of capital peas. Let me explain. The first part of the pod of peas concerns John the Baptist in our first part of the reading. In our reading, we encounter John the Baptist preaching to his disciples, and so John's ministry could be classified as public, professional preaching. There's a group of peas for you, okay? Public, professional preaching. The second part of the pot of peas for this morning for us to consider concerns the disciple Andrew, whose witness could be classified as private, personal proclamation. Another pot of peas. Now, I don't know, perhaps you might think it a little wrong to be referring to the public preaching of John as being professional. However, that is exactly what it was, because the word professional comes from the word profession, and the definition of the word profession is, and I quote, "the occupation to which one devotes oneself, or a calling." Really suits John the Baptist, doesn't it? Yes. According to this definition, I believe that John the Baptist was a professional who publicly preached the good news concerning the coming of the kingdom of God. "Prepare ye the way," he said. "Repent, for the coming of the kingdom of God is near." In fact, before John was born, his father Zechariah was told by the angel Gabriel that John the Baptist would, and I quote, "go before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord," end of quote. The public preaching of John was evangelizing in its purest form. In our reading for today, John is straight to the point. He declares to his disciples around him as Jesus comes into view, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And furthermore, John goes on to say, and I quote, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him." And he concludes by saying, "I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God." End of quote. Now, when John the Baptist preached that Jesus was the Lamb of God, he was telling his listeners, his followers in particular, that this Jesus was the one whom the prophet Isaiah had spoken about in chapter 53 of the book of Isaiah, wherein it says, and I quote, "the sacrificial lamb who takes away the sins of the world." And it's the same Jesus whom Peter and Paul would later write about, and I quote again, "our Passover lamb who has redeemed us, a lamb without blemish or defect." To the disciple Andrew, these words of John the Baptist ran out loud and clear when John said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You see, Andrew knew and believed that this was the fulfillment of the promise of God as given by the prophets of old. And now standing before Andrew stood this Jesus, this Lamb of God, the promised word of God made flesh. This public preaching of John was the good news that the kingdom of God had come and that the gospel of Jesus Christ was about to unfold. That is the first and foremost responsibility of pastors and preachers, of all public and professional preaching, is to declare the truth that in Jesus the gospel has come into this world. I once read of a seminary lecturer on preaching who told his students, and I quote, he said, "Gentlemen, I'm here to teach you how to preach the one thing I don't want you to ever forget. And that is the gospel. If you don't preach the gospel, the people don't need you at all because they can all go to hell very well without you." Of course, one of the great treasures that I believe that the Lutheran Church has is its approach to preach both law and gospel. For the richness of the gospel is found when the law is applied and the gospel is received. When John preached the gospel to Andrew, saying, "Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," Andrew then followed Jesus together with the disciple John from that day forwards until his death. Not our Lord's death, but Andrew's death. He followed his Lord from that day on. In the case of the disciples, Andrew and John the Baptist's public professional preaching had been successful. The second part of our reading was also the second part of the pods of the peas concerning the actions of the disciple Andrew, whose witness could be classified, as I've suggested, private personal proclamation. Now, one way, perhaps the first part that I've spoken about, was directed more towards myself. Now it is directed towards yourselves, although I think it applies right across the board. Andrew hears and he believes the gospel, the good news that Jesus is the Lamb of God. And then what does he do? What does Andrew do? Verse 40 tells us, and I quote, "Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the yeah, sorry. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Now, two things happened there. He told him about Jesus, and then he brought him to Jesus. Evangelism in its fullness. Now, I want you to think about this Andrew just for a moment. What do you know about him? What do we know about Andrew? Sure, we know he was a disciple, first of all, with John the Baptist, and then, as today declares, followed our Lord Jesus. We also learn today that he was Simon Peter's brother. We also know that they were both fishermen. But what else do you know about Andrew? Not a lot, perhaps. He didn't write any books, did he? He didn't write any letters. He doesn't seem to have revealed any great theological teachings or miracles that took place in his name. None of those things. Andrew doesn't come across as an upfront leader, establishing congregations here and there, although I'm sure he did in his own way, quiet way. In fact, Andrew might best fit that category we sometimes refer to in our Australian speaking as a quiet achiever. A quiet achiever. But there are a couple of extra things, which I know some of you may have recalled, that we also know about Andrew. When it became evident that the 5,000 were hungry, 5,000 plus were hungry, it was Andrew who brought the young boy with his 5 loaves and his 2 fishes to Jesus to bless them and to feed the people. And later on, when some Greeks came seeking to have a discussion with Jesus, it was Andrew who brought them to Jesus. Okay, not much, you might say, but isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful, the simple act of bringing people to Jesus that Andrew had? Not complicated, not hard, but that was his calling, bringing people to Jesus. And of course, we're told today he brought Simon Peter to Jesus. I think Andrew had something that is essential for all evangelists, and that is a passion to care for other people, a desire to bring them to the Lord Jesus. Sure, Andrew was no John the Baptist, and he always stood in the shadow of his older brother, Peter. And he might have appeared to just be another pea in the pod. But what a wonderful faith and the gift he had in witnessing and bringing people to our Lord. I don't know if I suggested you that the church is a pot of peas, you might consider yourself nothing more than just one of the peas in the pod. Looking the same as everyone else, yet in truth, in your congregation and in your life, you too are able to be an Andrew to those whom Jesus is calling. By God's grace and mercy and through baptism into his name, we have come to know Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, the one who is declared this day as the Lamb of God. Like Andrew, all of us can tell someone we have found our Saviour and our faith and life is centred in him. Like Andrew, we can desire to bring people to Jesus and his gospel of love. Like Andrew, we need a passion for the care of other people, especially those who have not yet come to know this Lamb of God. Like Andrew, we too have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we are called to use that gift. I don't know whether any other pastor has been asked the question, but I was once asked the question, "Pastor, how many people do you think you've saved?" Now, doing a quick shuffle on my feet, I said, "Well, actually, I think I haven't saved anyone. That's not my job, per se. That's been done by Christ." And I said, "If I have been involved in the saving of one soul, then I am content. I'd like more, to be a part of more. But that is the gift that God enables us to be as evangelists for him. To declare Christ Jesus, what it means to you in your life, whether that be to one person, whether that be to 100 people, that is the calling that Christ places upon you and I. So, is the church like a pot of peas? Well, I'll leave that one with you. Most likely the church will always have those peas who are called to the public, professional, preaching role of evangelism. But equally and essential for the sharing of the gospel, although are all those other peas in the pod of the church, those peas who are passionately about calling others to Jesus, those private, personal proclamations that only you can give for your Lord. Amen. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.